back in the days, people were very hesitant towards technologies to remove carbon from the atmosphere. There were even people like professors or well-known associations kind of fighting against us.
Today, how a Swiss-based initiative has become a world leader in removing carbon dioxide from the air.
Today, things have completely changed.
Jan Wurzbacher is the CEO and co-founder of Climeworks.
If you ask me, should we rather remove carbon dioxide from the air or should we avoid emitting? I would say it's not an either-or question anymore. Today, it is clear and science tells us that we have to do both.
This is Beyond Tech, a short-form podcast where you learn something new every episode in around 10 minutes. Climate change, I mean, it came up over the last couple of years more and more. I think it was always there, but I think the world just got more aware of it. Why should we care?
Many people, when talking about mitigating climate change, are associating that with saving nature or saving the planet. I would rather contradict that and say a bit provocatively, the planet eventually won't care. The planet will take care of that, no problem. The planet has done a lot of crazy stuff over the past millions of years. There's been like millions of years ago, like the climate was much hotter, there was more CO2, there were different climates and so on. Nature will change. It's about extinction of species and like they all belong together in an ecosystem, but still also nature would arrange somehow. If we're talking about avoiding climate change, it's first and foremost about us, about humans. It's about our biotope, if you like, our environment in which we live in. And as we see it recently, like small deviations from the standard conditions as they are now, so small deviations from standard weather as it has been there for the past hundreds or thousands of years, they have huge influence on how we're living. Like our systems in which we are living, they can be harmed by little changes quite substantially, right? If you think of big cities very close to the sea level, imagine sea level rise by 20 meters, that'll be a huge problem. Or more dry periods, look at the fires in California, all that stuff. So I'm not saying like because there are many, many fires this year in California, that's the perfect evidence that climate change has gone by XYZ percent this year. So it's always a long-term effect, but it's just a tendency of more extreme weather conditions that we probably starting to observe now. It's all a question of likelihoods. And we don't know exactly. No one knows exactly if it will take 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. The time those effects of climate change take, they are relatively long compared to a human life. And that's just not what we're used to deal with and not something we are used to intuitively act on.
Basically not save the planet but save humanity as a whole. I mean that is yeah. I think that is the ultimate mission about it, right? Yeah. And it is really unpredictable to some extent as well. We know that when we get to this threshold of 1.5 or 2% of global warming, things will get more extreme and less likely to live in for us. But I mean the full effect no one knows, right? Yes. That is the crazy thing about it.
Yes. No, that's right, and that's why I like to speak about what we are doing sometimes as a kind of insurance.
How would you explain what you're doing to your five-year-old niece?
We are building machines as a collection of big boxes. And in those boxes, there's a filter material. And that filter is a big sponge. So a lot of pores, a lot of holes in there. And we blow air through that sponge. And the CO2 is then bound at the surface. So within all these pores, there are little molecules which are attracting the CO2. So the CO2 attaches there. We do that for a couple of hours until the sponge is saturated with CO2. Then we close the box and we heat it up. And by heating up, these bonding of the CO2 molecules with the surface is released. The CO2 is released again from the sponge and we can suck pure concentrated CO2 out of the box. Then we open it again and we start all over. And part two is safely and permanently storing it. Mm-hmm. We are currently doing that in Iceland. And there we are injecting CO2 into basalt rock. Those are these volcanic rocks. By the way, one of the most abundant rock formation on Earth. So there's heaps of basalt rock on Earth. And when you inject the CO2 in there, it literally turns into stone. So
that's crazy.
It mineralizes, as you call. So you inject it about 1,000 meters underground. And then the CO2 is bound to these rocks.
You mentioned 10 years ago, difficult space. Everyone thought that's not possible what you're doing. How did it evolve? How is the space now, technology for climate?
I would say that during the past 1 or 2 years, the momentum took up really substantially. And a few things happened that triggered other things. So from our perspective, I guess the starting point was the Paris Agreement. This was like really a milestone in the COP negotiations. As a follow-up to that, several things happened. Well, one of that, and I think we have to say thanks to Greta there is just like a movement arrived or arose worldwide. People taking care and making, just going out on the street and demonstrating for tackling climate change. And in the last year or 1.5 years, what really happened is that corporates started to take action. If you look back probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when we spoke to a company saying, hey, you have some CO2 removal or CO2 like climate targets, we could do something for you. We would typically talk to the corporate sustainability officer. And that person typically, like she or he was responsible to draft a report towards the end of the year and then have a very small budget to do some rather symbolic things here and there. Today, we would typically talk to the CEO who has achieving climate targets on top of his or her agenda. So that's a real difference.
Now let's move a bit to the future, which I think is super interesting in this topic. What can we expect from technology for climate? Or what do you expect is going to happen?
Well, I believe what is starting right now is the creation of a new industry. If we look at the volumes of CO2 that we need to process, in the end, what you need in order to deal with that, that is an industry of the size of today's oil and gas industry. So it's not less than that. It's the starting point of an industry of such size that has to be created and that has started now. So that also means there's a lot more to come, obviously. Today, that's a handful of companies. Well, there's a lot of research going on in the meantime. I believe we are facing the creation of like such a new conglomerate.
What time frame do you think?
Well, the year 2030 is an often named milestone year. So by mid-century, we need to be there at the scales mentioned before. I believe that within the next 10 years, the formation of the foundation of such an industry will happen. I believe there will be a couple of more players, and in particular, the existing players will, and hopefully that includes Climeworks, establish a major part. And well, Climeworks currently runs at the forefront, and we're continuing that and putting all the power and resources in that we have. We've just closed a large financing round. Actually, we have closed what we, as we know it to date, is the largest equity financing round in the startup domain in Switzerland until today in 2020, which is great. So $110 million, that is substantial. And that gives us also now the power to continue growth over the next 3 to 4 years.
I mean, that's massive. Yeah, you had still, I think, the biggest rounds of 2020. I think there was no other three-digit round in the millions. So congrats to that. I think that's super impressive. And I think it's a statement as well, right? This is something we care and this is something we invest in.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Tech, a podcast from Digital Switzerland. My name is Matthias. And if you find these episodes interesting, and if you learned something new today, let us know. We'd also like to hear what topics you're curious about and what episodes we should cover in the future. This podcast was produced by Tinka Media. Music came from Blue Dot Session. If you like this podcast, please rate it and share it with your friends. Looking forward to catching up with you in a week.